Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour. This is David Corey along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hello, David, and hello, everyone, and good evening. Tonight we have another interesting show on issues of interest to America's military veterans and their families. We're going to talk about various programs and organizations at the state and local level that deal with veterans issues, and which help veterans to make the transition from military to civilian life. Then we will wrap up the show with some practical information for veterans who are fighting the VA for fair compensation for their service-connected disability. Now, at the start of the show, I recommend to all our listeners that you grab a pen and paper, because we are going to give you some phone numbers and websites that you will want to have. David?
That's right. And for all our listeners around the country, remember that the Veterans News Hour is a show that welcomes your views, your comments, and your questions. So you can call us anytime during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. And our main topic for discussion tonight is to ask listeners to tell us about programs in their states and their local areas that provide support to veterans. What do these programs offer, and how would you rate their effectiveness? So call us and let us know this evening. Again, the number is 1-888-627-6008. Now, one more thing before I turn the show back over to Richard Hurley, who will discuss some veteran organizations, is this. I have a special gift this evening for the first 10 listeners who send me an email or a text message tonight. The gift is this. It's a free copy of a DVD movie called Then, Again, and Beyond. It's a film made by Vietnam War combat veteran and helicopter door gunner Brian Wizard. The film won an award from the New York Indie Film Festival for Best Documentary Film. The film shows what the Vietnam War was like from the perspective of a helicopter door gunner, and has actual film footage from the war, filmed by Brian and other aviators. The film actually has three parts to it. The first part is from the war. The second part, called Make Friends, Not War, was filmed when Brian returned to Vietnam 30 years after he left it. He returned in 1999. And then the third part of the film is from 2009, when Brian donated some memorabilia to the National Air and Space Museum. Brian Wizard is going to be a guest on our show in the very near future. But before his appearance on the show, we are offering free copies of his movies to some of our listeners. So here's what you need to do. If you're one of the first 10 listeners to send me an email this evening, you will receive a free copy of the DVD. Sending me a text message is good, too. So grab your pen and paper and be ready to copy. My email address is lawcorey1@verizon.net. Again, that's lawcorey1@verizon.net. Let me spell that for you. It's law, L-A-W, Corey is C-O-R-Y, the number one, and that's the numeral one. Don't spell out the number one. It's lawcorey1@verizon.net. So if you're one of the first 10 listeners to send me an email to lawcorey1@verizon.net, and be sure to include your name and mailing address in the email so we can ship you one of these 10 copies of the DVD. In the subject line of your email, please include the words Brian Wizard Film. Now, if you don't have email, you can send me a text message with your name and address to the following number, area code 813 713-719-5632. Again, send me a text message, area code 813-719-5632. Again, the first 10 listeners to respond tonight will get a free copy of Brian's film called Then, Again, and Beyond. It's a great film. I'm sure you will enjoy it. You'll learn some valuable lessons from it, too. You can check out Brian Wizard's website at brianwizard.com. Now, a part of Brian's post-Vietnam therapy has been through writing, filmmaking, and art, including sculpture. He's a very talented artist. Now, he'll talk about his combat experience as well as his post-military life and therapy when he's on our show very soon. Okay, Richard, back to you.
Thanks, David. And, that is a terrific film, David. I recently looked at it myself. You sent me a copy, and it is terrific. And for someone like myself, you know, I didn't serve. I've mentioned that before on the show. So my experience with the military is strictly from listening to other people and looking at movies and the news and stuff like that. So, but this film really dives right into the heart of it. And I recommend it to all our listeners to, if you served in Vietnam, I'm sure you're going to find this to be extremely helpful. And if you're not familiar with combat or familiar with Vietnam, I know you'll really, this will open your eyes. So I hope we get some people to text you or email you.
Right.
But David, before I go into the show tonight, prior to coming on the air, I had had dinner with a widow of a veteran who recently passed away back in on February 19th, 2017, served from 1964 to 1979, and he had a heart attack and died. He had fought for decades trying to get compensation, and the only thing that he received from the VA was bilateral hearing loss, and he was receiving 20%. In talking to the widow, I heard all sorts of things that were wrong with him that clearly, had he been given good advice, I think, and kept the fight going, I think he would have received more compensation. She had mentioned to me how he had gone to DAVs and veteran service officers, and basically they took the fight right out of him, and he lost his heart in continuing the fight against the VA. And as such, he passed away, and fortunately he put his pennies away, and the widow found a little over $1,800 in a little safe, and she had to use over $1,400 of that to bury him. And she has no more money. She's broke. And it was just tragic to hear her story and her husband's story and to see, you know, what happened to this this veteran. He was an Air Force veteran like yourself, David. Mm-hmm. And, she was saying that he was very good to all the homeless veterans that are in and around the Hudson area of Pasco County, constantly going out there and taking food and blankets. And all he used to tell his wife is, you know, he got a $1,200 pension from his company and the $290 from the VA for his 20% compensation. He said, that's enough to keep us out of the field of Hudson, Pasco County. Anyway, very sad. And I encourage all our veterans, you know, fight for your compensation rights, and don't give up. Get the right advice, whether it's through a law firm or if you can find a good DAV or a service officer, but just don't give up. And David, you know, I'm sure you agree that
right,
it's all about keeping the fight going, and persistence erodes resistance, as you and I say all the time.
Right. Important, and I'm sure, I think a lot of veterans out there that are listening can relate to having to sometimes fight the VA for many years, and you know the feeling is sometimes one of hopelessness, and they just give up. But as you said, the key is to be persistent.
So, well, tonight we're going to go back and we're going to talk about veterans' issues and programs, and mainly at the state and local level. We have spent many prior shows talking about the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs and the federal government benefits and programs. But as most veterans know, there are many gaps in the federal programs. That's where state, local, and private organizations play a big role. In prior shows, we have had guests, which include Hank Whittier from a group called the Veterans Helping Veterans of Marion County, Florida, and also the Florida group, Henry Purnell, which was last week, called the Veterans Action Project. Those are examples of private nonprofit organizations who offer financial and other help to veterans in their local communities. But there are many other such private groups around the country, and we'd like to hear from listeners this evening about groups they know about or are involved in.
Yeah, and one group I'd like to talk about is called Veterans Florida. That's the name, Veterans Florida. It's a nonprofit corporation that was created by the state government of Florida to help veterans fully transition from civilian life here in Florida. Veterans Florida connects veterans to employers. It also grants funds to employers to hire and train veterans, and it educates veterans on how they can open their own business in Florida. And because veterans often need more than employment assistance, Veterans Florida has built a network of veteran service providers throughout the state to assist veterans with services such as housing, benefits, legal issues, and other needs. They have a great website. It's easy to remember. It's veteransflorida.org. So I encourage listeners to check that out. It's veteransflorida.org. Businesses in the state of Florida, in particularly high-growth fields like aerospace, manufacturing, logistics, research and development, and technology, are seeking to hire veterans and provide them with the training they need to build a long and fruitful career. So if you live in Florida or plan on moving to Florida, you can start searching for your next career on the Florida career portal for veterans. It's called careers.veteransflorida.org. Again, the website is careers.veteransflorida.org, and that will help you translate the skills that you acquired in the military, but to translate those into military application. It helps you build a resume, a plan for your transition from active duty. So it's a website that those on active duty can benefit from checking out. And it also is a portal, basically a launching point, to apply for jobs in Florida that are targeted to a veteran's particular experience and expertise.
Yeah, you know, and Florida has a high number of veterans in the state, and they're consolidated in some strong areas like Hillsborough County, Tampa, Pinellas County, St. Petersburg. Up in Ocala, there's over 600,000 veterans within a 75-mile radius of the city of Ocala, and that's not even mentioning what goes on down around the Miami area. So, you know, Florida makes it easy for veterans to get the education and training that they need to develop a career. You know, in Florida, has the GI Bill, Florida waives out-of-state tuition fees for all honorably discharged veterans. Plus, the undergraduate tuition is waived for state universities, community colleges, and career and technical schools for recipients of the Purple Heart.
And according to the website veteransflorida.org, nearly one in four active duty service members and veterans have an interest in opening and operating their own business. And there's many reasons for doing that. The opportunity, the freedom to be your own boss, and also to solve problems and challenges, that really attracts a lot of people to the idea of opening their own business. Well, Florida has what they call the Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program that can offer veterans tuition-free online and on-campus instruction and what's called the nationally recognized lean startup method. And it's designed to work around a veteran's schedule. It provides instruction at one of seven college and university campuses around the state of Florida. And it provides access to other resources like mentorship from business leaders and others. Now, in the state of Florida, for those of you that are in Florida or familiar with Florida, those seven colleges and universities cover the whole length of Florida, from University of West Florida over in the far panhandle, which is the northwest corner, Florida A&M in Tallahassee, University of North Florida in the Northeast, University of Central Florida in the Orlando area, Hillsborough Community College in the Tampa area, Florida Gulf Coast University, which is the southwest part of Florida, and then down the southeast, Miami area, is Florida Atlantic University. So the whole state's covered, essentially, with these seven partnering colleges and universities that participate in this Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program. And in researching veteran resources around the country, I have to say I was really impressed with this program. It seems to be head and shoulders above and beyond what many other states offer. So I would encourage listeners that are interested in that, check it out. And again, you can go to the website, veteransflorida.org. And the point of contact for this is an individual named Jimmy Smith, who's the entrepreneurship program manager. I'll give you his email address. Shoot him an email. It's smith@veteransflorida.org. That's Jimmy Smith. His email is smith@veteransflorida.org. Again, this program is really a super opportunity. If you're an honorably discharged veteran, or if you're still on active duty but you know within a year of discharge, or you're a current or former member of the National Guard or Reserves, any of those, and you reside in Florida, and you have an interest in entrepreneurship, then this program can provide tuition-free instruction to those qualified veterans. And I say it's a super program, so check it out.
That's great stuff, David. And for veterans seeking employment in Florida, another good website is veteran.employflorida.com. That's veteran.employflorida.com. That website is a gateway to information and resource links that will assist veterans, families, and employers in accomplishing their employment goals in the state of Florida. You'll find information about Employee Florida website that will match job seekers with employers and other employment-related services. This webpage can be a valuable tool for you in identifying the career center in your community, which can provide resources that will make your search for employment or employees more cost-effective. Again, that's veteran.employflorida.com. There's a lot going on, huh, David?
Yeah, there is, and there's a lot of resources that, and these are resources that are provided through the state of Florida and state and organizations within Florida. So this is above and beyond the federal United States Department of Veterans Affairs that we often talk about. But another program that the state of Florida has, and this is important because a growing field, a profession in Florida as other states, is the healthcare field. So if you're a veteran or you're a family member who would like to work in the healthcare field in Florida, but you're currently licensed in some other state, then the state of Florida offers expedited licensure processing if you're a member of the armed forces or the reserves or the National Guard and you're seeking licensure in the healthcare profession. To qualify, you must apply for the license either within a period of 6 months before or 6 months after your honorable discharge, and you must hold an active license in some U.S. jurisdiction or serve as a military healthcare practitioner in a profession for which being licensed is not a requirement. There are some of those, too. So whether you're in a licensed area of medical practice or one that doesn't require licensing in your jurisdiction, for instance, but is required in Florida, then the state of Florida's program is to make it easy for you to make that transition, you and your family members. There's no application fee, licensing fee, or other kind of fee for veterans who qualify. For more information, go to the website flhealthsource.gov and then / the word VALOR, V-A-L-O-R. Again, that's FL for Florida, healthsource.gov/ Valor. Over to you, Rick.
And for family members, here's something. Florida offers expedited health care licensure processing if you are the spouse of an active member of the United States Armed Forces, the United States Reserve Force, or the National Guard seeking licensure in most healthcare professions. In order to qualify, you must apply for the license while your spouse is serving on active duty, and you must hold an active license in a U.S. jurisdiction or serve as a healthcare practitioner in a profession for which licensure in a state or jurisdiction is not required to practice. There is no application fee, licensure fee, or unlicensed activity fee for military spouses who qualify for this type of licensure. Again, for more information, you can go to that same website that David just cited, which is flhealthsource.gov/valor. That's flhealthsource.gov/valor.
Yeah, that's great information, and it looks like the state of Florida is really looking for and providing ways to help veterans and their family members make that transition from military life, which is pretty tough and demanding and stressful, to civilian life. And that transition itself can be pretty tough. But our listeners obviously go beyond just the state of Florida. Richard, what can you tell us about some of the other states' programs to help veterans?
Well, let's talk for a few minutes about the state of California, which is home to nearly 2 million veterans. The state of California, like other states, has its own state agency devoted to veterans issues. It is the California Department of Veteran Affairs, and its website is calvet.ca.gov. That's Cal, C-A-L, vet, V-E-T, dot C-A.gov. Veterans in California, as in other states, range in age from World War II veterans in their 90s to millennials from the current conflicts. Each generation has a different need and interest, and each has a different way to learn about those services and benefits. But the one common element for all veterans is that at some point in time, they put on a uniform and serve in the United States military. CalVet offers a variety of services to honorably discharged veterans, from residency of one of numerous state veterans' homes, to helping you purchase a home through our farm and home loan program. This department also advocates for veterans, providing information and representation before the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. There are many services, benefits, and preferences provided to you by the people of California as a way to honor your service. So let's explore this site, calvet.ca.gov, and see all that California offers its veterans. California offers a variety of employment services and benefits to veterans who are unemployed or seeking employment, including employment services to help you find a job, unemployment benefits for while you are seeking employment, and apprenticeships on the job on the job training programs that pay you while you prepare for a sustainable career. Again, check out the website, calvet.ca.gov. And before I turn it over to you, David, I just want to remind our callers that you can call in at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from our listeners about some of the information that we've put out there so far, or maybe you have your own question or topic that you would like to discuss. David?
Yep, very true. And according to the VA's own statistics, current as of 2015, about 16 months ago, California has the most veterans in the United States at just over 1.8 million veterans. Texas is second with 1.675 million, and Florida is a close third with 1.56 million. The fourth in order is Pennsylvania with just over 900,000 veterans, and then the state of New York is next with about 862,000 veterans. And since we've talked already about Florida and California state veterans programs, let's now discuss New York and some of the other states. The New York State Division of Veterans Affairs website, if you want to copy this down, is veterans.ny.gov. That's the New York State Division of Veterans Affairs. Their website is veterans.ny.gov. It has a lot of very helpful information for veterans and for their families.
Hey, David, I think we may have a caller on the line here. Barbara?
Yep.
Hi, Barbara. How are you tonight?
Fine.
What would you like to say? You have a question?
No, not really. I just would like to say I was a widow that Richard had dinner with tonight. and he's going to help me out a lot. I know he can help out a lot of people if they just know where to go and maybe have better education for the widows of the veterans. So they know where to go or how to go about things, because I was, like, lost.
Yeah, that was quite a story that I heard from you tonight. So sorry.
It's okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Barbara.
You're welcome. Thank you for everything you're doing, and I hope a lot of people figure out how to get in touch with somebody like you or other people, because they really could use the help. I know I did, and I'm glad I did, and I hope everybody else does the same thing out there, because it's out there for people, and they need to get it, because they deserve it.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's one of our missions in this program as well, is to get the word out. There's so many resources to help, and also lots of good advice, and we're trying to offer some of that. So thank you so much, and I'm sure Richard will be talking with you soon.
Thank you, Robert. I'll be in touch.
You're welcome. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, and that was just horrible. I'm glad she called in. Getting back to some of the other stuff we were talking about, the state of New York has a variety of programs to help veterans find employment. The New York Hire a Vet Credit encourages the hire of qualified veterans. Businesses may earn up to $5,000 for hiring a qualified veteran and up to $15,000 for hiring one who is disabled. Businesses must employ a qualified veteran for no less than 35 hours per week for one full year. A qualified veteran is someone who served on active duty and was released from active duty by general or honorable discharge after September the 11th, 2001. Qualified veterans must attest that they were not employed for 35 or more hours in the previous 180 days. For assistance, please visit the New York Department of Labor's website at labor.newyork.gov. Again, that's labor.newyork.gov.
That sounds like an excellent program by the state of New York. As you said, it's called Hire a Vet Credit, and it's essentially designed to help provide an incentive to businesses to hire currently unemployed veterans, and particularly those that are disabled. The New York State Department of Labor also gives veterans priority service in all New York State employment and training programs. This priority service is guaranteed in federal law and also by New York State Veterans Bill of Rights as far as their employment services. Those services include career assessment, job referrals, resume preparation, job search planning, certain civil service positions in the state of New York, and other benefits. Again, if you're in the state of New York, you're interested in moving to New York, the state Department of Labor's Employment Services for Veterans resources can be found on its website, which is easy to remember. It's labor.ny.gov. That's labor.ny.gov.
And I would add that New York's Veterans Division, like those of other states, also offers free assistance to veterans with their VA disability claims and other benefits. Check out the website for more information. That's veterans.ny.gov.
Yep, good information, Rick. And let's now talk about the state of Texas, which has the second largest population of veterans in the United States. And let's talk about their programs. The Texas State Agency is called the Texas Veterans Commission. The Texas Veterans Commission, its website is tvc.state.tx.us. That's TVC as in Texas Veterans Commission, .state.tx for Texas.us. Another very useful website for the state of Texas is called the Texas Veterans Portal, and that website is veterans.portal.texas.gov. That's a long one. Let me repeat it more slowly. That's veterans.portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, .texas.gov, G-O-V, veterans.portal.texas.gov. So if you're a resident of Texas or thinking of moving to the great state of Texas and you're a veteran, check those websites out. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, you know, and the Texas Veterans Commission is the state-appointed advocate of Texas veterans as they attempt to secure the benefits rightfully earned by their service in our nation's armed forces. The commission has four program areas. The first is the claims representation and counseling services, veterans, their dependents, and survivors in all matters pertaining to veterans' disability benefits and rights. It is the designated agency of the state of Texas to represent the state and its veterans before the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. And the second one is the Veterans Employment Services, which offers employment services to Texas veterans and helps employers find qualified veteran job applicants. The goal of these services is to match veteran job seekers with the best employment opportunities available. The Veterans Education Program approves all programs for veterans' federal educational benefits. Through an approval process, the Texas Veterans Commission ensures that institutions and employers are in compliance with the federal guidelines and are qualified to provide the type of training offered. And finally, the Texas Veterans Commission Fund for Veterans Assistance is a program that makes grants available to eligible charitable organizations, local government agencies, and veteran service organizations that provide direct services to Texas veterans and their families.
Yep, the Texas Veterans Commission also has another website called the Military Veteran Peer Network. The Military Veteran Peer Network, its website is MILVETPEER, which is MILVETPEER.net. That's MILVETPEER.net. And I've compared a lot of state veteran organizations, and this one, this Texas Military Veterans Peer Network, appears to be one that's relatively unique among the different states. That website has a lot of good information, and it includes, for example, a veterans' mental health program. Again, this is in addition to what the VA offers for mental health care for veterans and their families, but this is in the state of Texas. It's to help veterans, as well as their families, cope with mental health issues that can arise from military service. And as we know, the entire family is affected usually by the stress of military life. Now, this program in Texas, this Veteran Peer Network, its mission is to train and provide technical assistance to service members, veterans, their families, peer counselors, basically, also licensed health care providers and mental health organizations, as well as community and faith-based organizations and state agencies, basically provide training and technical expertise about the impact of military stress on veterans and their families. And it's felt that military veterans and their families often have difficulty accessing timely mental health resources due to a number of factors. And they recognize that, and they try to address that difficulty. They recognize that sometimes the individual has difficulty in recognizing their own mental health needs. There may be a lack of resources available, even upon recognition of the needs. There may be a difficulty accessing the mental health resources, and there may be a lack of community-level awareness about military-related mental health issues. So this program in Texas, as I say, it seems to be a relatively unique one. I'd be interested in hearing from any listeners in Texas that might be familiar with that program and tell us more about it. As I said, the program provides training and technical assistance to agencies, organizations, and individuals, and it includes technical assistance to the criminal justice system in Texas, try to improve what they call diversion and mental health treatment options for veterans who get involved in the legal system. You know, veterans, let's say a veteran has post-traumatic stress disorder and mental health issues have caused the veteran essentially to kind of unravel and get in trouble with the law in any sorts of ways. And many states, including the state of Florida, but Texas and many other states now have kind of diversionary program which are designed to make sure that these veterans get the help they need, and that's part of achieving justice. So if you're interested in more information about the Texas Military Veteran Peer Network, I've got a phone number for you. Texas Military Veteran Peer Network phone number is area code 512-463-6091. That's the Texas Military Veteran Peer Network, area code 512-463-6091. Back to you, Rick.
And another Texas program is the Veteran Entrepreneur Program. the purpose of which is to foster and promote veteran businesses throughout the state of Texas. Among its resources are a team of experienced business consultants who are available for any veteran in the state of Texas to consult with. It's free of charge to the veteran.
Yep, that's good information. And Rick, I'd like to make another plug before we move on to talk about some other states, is to make another reminder to our listeners. Tonight we're offering you a free gift, and that's a free copy of a DVD movie called Then, Again, and Beyond by Vietnam combat veteran Brian Wizard, who's a noted author, artist, and filmmaker. This is an award-winning film. It won an award from the New York Indie Film Festival for Best Documentary Film. And all you need to do, if you're one of the first 10 to send me an email or a text, send me an email to my email address, which is lawcorey1@verizon.net. Again, lawcorey1@verizon.net, LAWCORY, the number 1, at verizon.net. And just put in the subject line, Brian Wizard Film, and include your name and mailing address in the body of the email, of course. If you don't have an email, send me a text message with your name and address to this phone number, 813-719-5632. Again, 813-719-5632. Again, we still have a few copies of the film left, so let me know. You'll be happy to receive this, and Brian will be on our show in one of the upcoming weeks. So let's go back to our topic tonight. To me, it's very interesting to see how various states have provided assistance to veterans, and I'm certainly hoping that our information tonight will help veterans and their families learn more about what their particular states offer, as well as enable them to compare those to other states and perhaps learn some programs that are working in other states that perhaps ought to be implemented in their state.
Yeah, it's very true. And we don't, unfortunately, have the time to discuss all the 50 states. But I would point out that if you have the Internet access, it is very easy to find out what programs your state and even your local communities offer to help veterans, particularly with jobs programs and other services to help veterans make the transition from military to civilian life. And I guess the last state that we would like to focus on, because it's one of the larger states, would be Pennsylvania. And its state agency is the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Its website is dmva.pa.gov. That's dmva.pa.gov. And the Pennsylvania Office for Veterans Affairs mission is to provide advice and assistance to Pennsylvania's more than 900,000 veterans and their families, and to provide quality care to aging veterans. There are a wide range of federal, state, and county benefits available to qualified veterans and their families, and county directors of Veteran Affairs can be an excellent source of information and assistance when applying for these benefits.
And yeah, one of the things that the Pennsylvania website has, that some other states have too, but not all of them, they have a veterans registry. It's an online application that allows veterans, family members, and people who work with veterans to connect with the Pennsylvania Department of Military Veterans Affairs to request information that's related to state benefits, state programs, and the services offered. So when you register online, and I'll give you that website in a moment, that information will be used and shared with the county directors of Veterans Affairs, because not just the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania at a statewide level, or I should say Commonwealth level, for those of you that are picky on that point, but also the county level, in order to facilitate local networking, basically. So you can opt in when you go to the website I'm about to give. You can opt in to receive regular communications like newsletters, press releases, and program updates. The Pennsylvania Veterans Registry is that state's first step in what they consider a long-term strategy to achieve a higher level of communication with veterans within the state, as well as people who support veterans. Now, here's the website. This is for the state of Pennsylvania. If you want to register with the state, the website is register.dmva.pa.gov. And let me repeat that. The website for the state of Pennsylvania is register, that's R-E-G-I-S-T-E-R dot D-M-V-A, which stands for Department of Military Veterans Affairs, dot P-A dot gov. That's register dot D-M-V-A dot P-A dot gov. I urge you to check it out if you live in the state of Pennsylvania and you're a veteran or a family member of a veteran or someone that works with or employs veterans or thinking about doing any of those things. So check it out. Over to you, Rick.
That's all good, great information. And, you know, as I said before, we don't have time to discuss all 50 states, but if you do have internet access, it's easy to find out what programs in your state or your communities offer to help veterans, particularly with job programs and other services to help veterans make the transition from military to civilian life. You know, David, you came out of the Air Force with a law degree. You served, and you're a member of JAG. Maybe you can share briefly some of the experiences you had transitioning from military to civilian life.
Yeah, well, I was a lawyer before I joined the Air Force, so I had some civilian legal experience as an attorney before I joined the Air Force. So I had some idea of civilian practice, but then I was in the Air Force for 12 years on active duty, and then I transitioned into the reserves, which meant I was a part-time military member. I had my own civilian law practice, but I also stayed active in the reserves, doing quite a bit of reserve duty. And and certainly this is not unique just to my area, my profession, or my work, but the transition from a military life to civilian life is pretty dramatic, because in the military you become used to having to move every 2, 3, 4 years. You're also used to a situation where, you know, if war breaks out, you get to be deployed to the other side of the globe, literally, on relatively short notice. So this sense of being uprooted every few years, or sometimes even with very short notice, is a situation that even in today's mobile society, you know, most civilians really can't quite relate to. When someone in the civilian world wants to move, it's their decision usually. It's not because they're required to move, whether they like it or not. So it's kind of a different mindset you get into moving from military to civilian life. There's a lot more freedom, again, and that's probably obvious. But I think some of the programs that we've highlighted tonight, such as the state of Florida's programs for veterans, whether it's the entrepreneurship program, because people in the military, many of them have a tremendous amount of expertise in their skills, whether they're a pilot in the Air Force, whether they were a military police person in the Army, whether they were a computer expert in the Navy, whatever it might be, most skills are translatable in one way or the other. And military personnel also typically have a fair amount of leadership and management training, whether you're a non-commissioned officer or an officer. And that leadership and management skills can come in pretty handy. But still there is that transition to civilian life, which having, you know, the mentors that the state of Florida has, and if you're starting your own business, certainly to have some resources to help you maneuver all the kind of the legal and bureaucratic landmines that you find in any state, some states more so than others. So I think it's great that states like California and New York and Florida and Pennsylvania, Texas, just the ones we've talked about tonight. But I'm fairly sure that residents of those other states, you check out your state Veterans Department, and you'll find that there are similar resources there that are designed to help you. And, you know, again, check those out, and I think you'll find those very helpful.
That's great stuff, David. I know I've enjoyed many of the stories you've told me about your service, and I guess, you know, I thank you for your service because you certainly, 12 years in the service and everything that you've done when you're over there is quite honorable. And
and the reserves, too, I want to mention, I had 12 years active duty and then another 8 years in the reserves, but I was in the active reserves, which meant that I did frequent reserve tours, they call them, and quite a few different places, quite a few different states, quite a few areas of the law. So I've got a pretty wide, that's one thing about the military, is that they tend to give you a lot of responsibility early, and you become a quick study, a quick learner, because you adapt. You learn to adapt because you have to move to different places and move to different jobs, and you work with different people, sometimes on very short notice, and usually at the most for just a few years. So those are all valuable skills. And I really, the people that I think don't get enough credit in the military are those that are in the Guard and the Reserve, because those are the part-time military people. And, you know, there was concerted effort, certainly after the Vietnam War. There are members of the Guard and the Reserve that served there, but I think most people know that during the Vietnam War, a lot of people would join, you know, let's say the National Guard, because depending on the particular Guard unit, and I emphasize that, depending on the particular Guard unit, there may be less of a chance of them being sent to Vietnam. I know that's not all true. So those of you that were in the Guard or Reserve got activated and go to Vietnam, I certainly know of your situations. But the point is, now, after Vietnam, and now we've got a volunteer force from the early 1970s, it's a different situation. And with the cutbacks in the size of the military starting in the early 90s after Operation Desert Storm, you saw a greater focus shifting from the active duty forces to the Guard and Reserve. And the Guard and Reserve folks, this is what the point I was trying to get to, the people in the Guard and the Reserves, it's really tough for them because they have to balance a civilian life and a civilian job, basically, and they're also at the call of their government to be called up for active duty. And we know how much, since 2001, in both Iraq and Afghanistan, members of the Guard, the National Guard, and the Reserves were called up. And we've had clients, too. We know these people that have been called up sometimes multiple times for multiple tours of varying lengths of time over there. And then they have to, you know, so they may be activated for 6 months or a year. When their tour is up, then they go back home. And it's not as if they're returning to an active duty base where you have this really large build-up military support system. Most military bases are large. They're almost towns and cities to themselves, and you have all the resources right there. You know, you're day in and day out working with other troops. You've got the chain of command to support you, et cetera. And when you're in the Guard and Reserve, yes, you have some support to a certain level, but you're pretty much on your own, and you're not going to be living on a military installation. You may be returning to, you know, the small town that you were living in Florida or California or Texas, wherever it might be, and you don't have that support system, and you've got to make a really quick transition back to civilian life. And for veterans that, you know, are come back from the war and, you know, they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder or physical disabilities which affect their employment, it's tough. It really is, and I don't think enough people in American society now appreciate that, because since we don't have the military draft, there's a much smaller segment of society, you know, that choose to volunteer for service. And one thing, if I could add my own additional thought on that point, which, you know, I've heard periodically over the years, you know, since the draft ended in the 70s, I've also heard the viewpoint from some civilians, this is not coming from the military community, they really, really look down on people that volunteer for the service as if that's something that they're just doing because they have nothing else to do in life, number one. And number two, or else they're just mercenaries for the big evil corporate America military-industrial complex, which I think is not only false, but it's absurdly naive. I would challenge these individuals to go spend a day or a week at a military installation, try to participate in one of the programs that many military installations have, which are designed to kind of build better relationships between the local community, and meet and talk to people that are in the military. I think you will be incredibly impressed with the caliber of people that are serving in the military. And for those people that really belittle them, I think they're only displaying their own ignorance, which is very sad, but it also reflects the fact that in our modern society, without a draft, you really have a very divided world as far as national defense. You have a very small percentage of the population who serve in the military, or their children serve in the military, et cetera, and the rest of the society gets very disconnected, and they become relatively clueless about what it's like to serve your country and basically to take an oath, put on a uniform, and be at the mercy of wherever the civilian leadership is. The civilian leadership of the country that sends people off to war. I served a total of 20 years, 12 active, 8 in the active reserve, and I can tell you from my own experience that the military is not full of a bunch of warmongers. These are people that understand very seriously the risk to their own lives and the lives of their friends that they serve with, and not just when they go off to war, but in all the training. You know, I knew a couple pilots in the Air Force who died in plane crashes, and I helped as a member of a disaster response team responding to several fatal plane crashes and actually helped put, you know, dead bodies in body bags. And this is during peacetime and training, and I think a lot of civilians don't realize that sacrifice. So for those of you out there that are in the military, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you that aren't in the military, I hope this has been eye-opening. But anyway, we're about ready to run out of time.
That's great information there, so, David. Quickly, you know, we had that phone call from Barbara, and just want to remind our veterans that the VA does have a legal duty to assist you, which means that they have to help you gather records for your claim, telling you what you need to win, provide medical exam, call this compensation and pension exam to document your claim.
Rick, I'm sorry to interrupt. Rick,
yeah.
We've got about literally 2 minutes to go, so we ought to probably save our tips for next week, and we probably need to kind of move to our wrap-up.
Okay, but let me just add, you know, we did hear from Barbara, and I just want to urge veterans, don't give up. If you get anything from tonight, please remember there's a lot of resources out there for you. Find a good lawyer, get the information, but do not give up. You're entitled to compensation if you have a service-connected disability. Before we do wrap up the show, remember an important VA program which we have discussed in previous weeks is worth repeating tonight, Coaching into Care. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you veterans, and you can call that number 1-888-823-7458. Hours on Monday to Friday, 8 to 8. Again, the VA's Coaching and Care, 1-888-823-7458. Thank you, David.
Yep, thanks. And that's about it for our show tonight. We'll be back here next week, as always. We'd like to thank you all for listening. We'd like to thank our show sponsors, which include Corey and Hurley Law Group, and also sponsor Mr. Charles M. Newman of the state of Florida. We'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, and we'd like to invite listeners to become show guests, sponsors, and advertisers. Our contact information is on our show's website, which is bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. You can also find archived podcasts of our prior shows for your benefit on the website. We'll be back next Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific Time here on the great BBSRadio.com Station 1. That's our show for tonight. Please tune in again next week. Thank you.
See you then. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.